You're listening to coverage of the IFL here on IFL Talk with Corey Bethany and Sonny Clark. Last week on IFL Talk with Corey Bethany and Sonny Clark.
You mentioned the O-line, and I'm not going to let you off the hook on this.
Sure.
They're better than the O-line, the Sioux Falls Storm. That's what you mentioned in Facebook form.
Absolutely. I put it out there.
No way, Sonny. No way, Sonny.
I put it out there. I put it out there. I tried to make the point. They didn't have an IFL MVP behind them. No offense. I mean, I heard of the guy, but I mean, this is nothing to write home to mama about when you're talking IFL and quarterbacks, but you know, playing football. No offense. Obviously, the Texas Revolution offensive line was not as good. They're totally revamped right now. And if you look at the stats from Marcus Jackson going from the first 2 weeks to the last 2 weeks, they're night and day, okay? And if you look at the stats from the quarterbacks from the last 2 weeks for the Storm, the last two games they played, compared to Marcus Jackson, they're night and day there, too. As far as the game that I watched, those games that I've watched, I haven't seen anything that stands out and says they're the best in the IFL.
Sioux Falls O-line is absolutely the best in the IFL. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's Charlie Sanders.
So why are they not getting the job done? Why are they not getting the job done? Why are they sitting at 2-2? So let's go ahead and bring him on in, Corey Bethany. So why were they sitting at 2-2? Was it the quarterback position that they finally got now at all set in Sioux Falls? Corey Bethany, good evening. Corey, area code 314, is that Corey Bethany? Area code 314.
Sonny, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. There he is.
Okay.
How you doing, Corey?
I'm good. What's going on? How you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Did you hear the intro there?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And you said that 2-2, Sioux Falls Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was it the quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Sonny.
Yep,
absolutely.
And then
playing against Green Bay didn't help either. But go ahead. We'll talk about that later.
Well, yeah, we will be talking about that later. Folks, you are listening to IFL Talk with Corey Bethany and myself, Sonny Clark, here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We do this every Tuesdays. I have forgot that I call baseball games on Tuesdays. So we're going to do it a couple of weeks on this channel here on NDB Media, just to let you know. Okay, Corey? But we're still going to do the show. But, you know, we did talk about that. That's exactly what I wanted to talk to start off. Was it the fact that we saw a better offensive line? And it was. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it night or day between the offensive line when Dasher and the other guy, I forget his name, is in there, compared to Bryant that's in there now? This was a different offensive line. They looked like the offensive line of last year when they had Chris Dixon there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's timing, it's chemistry. Even though he hasn't been around, that ball is out when it needs to be. You know, the whole flow in the offense just totally changed. Harrison hitting the hole right at the same point. The Riz can get into the he can get into his game plan and his rhythm, and you know, well-oiled machine that we used to seeing of the Sioux Falls Storm.
So Sioux Falls Storm gets the win 48-29 last week, and they just dominated the whole game from the beginning. There wasn't much competition, and I picked the Blizzard. I was hoping they had found it, and evidently they have not found it, and we're going to be talking about them as well as for their games this upcoming week and things like that as well. The Danger beat the Revolution by 3. We've been kind of talking about it a little bit over on Facebook, folks. Get online and go to Facebook. Put in Indoor Football League Players Meets Fans. So you can join in, join with some of the coaches. We talk about our top, you know, our power rankings. We talk about what we saw and things like that. So let's go to that game, Corey. The Danger, we've been talking about it a little bit. What was your impression? I mean, we've seen a total of eight turnovers in that football game. That's huge. And five of them on the Revolution side, three on the Danger side. That was just really, and I called the game. The game was ugly. I mean, in reality, the first half it was ugly on the Danger side, and then the second half the Danger just took over, and it turned ugly for the Revolution.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it definitely was ugly. Turnovers was a huge factor. 9 points yep. for the Danger in the first half. That was absolutely dreadful. You shouldn't be having missed bad snaps at this time of the point of the season, so forth.
Right.
That's a week one, week two, maybe change the center type deal. That is unexcusable. So, yeah, that makes it ugly. I think some of the turnovers that the Danger force outside of the kickoffs, some will argue that was skill, some will argue that was game plan, some will argue that's luck, but some of the sacks on Marcus is where he's scrambling out of the pocket. Those are kind of forced fumbles. Those the defense getting after of it and actually making a point to rip the ball out, and maybe they saw something on film that Marcus, once he leaves the pocket, he doesn't tuck it right away, and they saw an opportunity in that, and they jumped on it. So,
if
Davis, I'd probably be giving Davis too much credit if they actually looked at that and picked up that tendency. But hey, they did it, and it happened. So that's what we can go off of.
Well, I'll tell you, I saw two plays before that. They were definitely going after the football. I think I even made mention on the when we were calling the game that they were going directly after the ball. The two plays before that, and sure enough, soon that happened, and that was the turnovers. It was big. So when I look at that, and we were talking about it in the group, I didn't move the Revolution from the number five spot. Frankly, I think they should have won that football game. The fact Nebraska won just shows that they got the job done. You know, even through all the bad things that happened in the first half of that football game, they got the job done. It doesn't matter how bad the first half was. It only matters at the end of the game when the W, the little lines up underneath the W, that's the important thing. So, and that's what happened in that game. They got the job done. Unfortunately, the Revolution did not get that job. And I say unfortunately because I obviously called the games for them. So let's go to the other games. Go ahead, Corey.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's the bottom line. They got the W. It was that home win. The score doesn't indicate how close it was towards the end.
Right.
It was definitely a much better game, sloppier game and close game, as the score would indicate. But they got the job done, and Texas had one slipped away. They had them on the ropes, but good teams come out of that, and with the W, like you said.
Yep. And good things will come from the L in reality. And we were talked about it last week about the moral victory. I mean, I think they've seen that victory at the end of the game. And they may have taken a step, too much and didn't get their game heads on. And they let it slide away from them, which is what I think happened if I had to guess at what happened in that game. But I will tell you right out, I'm not worried about the Texas Revolution where they're at because of what they did in the first half. Now they just got to put together that four quarters is what to get a full game from them. So
yeah, that's true. And we did talk about that. We touched on that. You know, more victory going into Nebraska, and I don't know. I hope they don't look back on this game. It's like, man, we let one slip away. That would have put us in the playoffs. So,
right.
You know, it can be a moral victory now, but I hate for them to look back and say, man, that's the one we could have had, and, you know, we should have had knowing now. So,
yep.
You know, it's a tough one. And all games will come down like that, I think, from here on out.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Titans take the second loss in a row, playing the Chicago Slaughter. I looked at this game. I thought the Slaughter really kind of had the edge. Four in a row, which really, when I made the prediction, if I would have necessarily had it on my mind they were going for their fourth game in a row, I would have said they lost. So I'm glad I didn't realize they were going for their fourth game in a row. Made me look smart. I got the win, and the Slaughter got the win right at the end of the game. And boy, oh boy, that's one of the things about the Indoor Football League I love, is the fact that these games come down to the wire a lot. This was no different, and the Slaughter came out on top.
Oh, yeah, no different. And the last two games they played was very close. You know, Chicago felt like they could have won that last ball game.
Yep.
That they let, you know, the Titans win. The Titans actually won that game. But, you know, they deserve all the credit. But, man, that's a tale of two halves. If you ask me, Titans came out rolling.
Mm-hmm.
They came out screaming.
Yep.
they came out, you know, balling out. And that turnover for the pick six going right in between the half, and they got the ball back with the momentum changer of the game for me. You go into halftime instead of down three scores, because they was driving, three possessions. You come out and you get a score, and you come out and you score again. That's a 14-0 swing just like that. So they was right back in the game, the home crowd, and man, that was a tough one to take for Titans. That was a really tough one to take.
Definitely. Now taking a look at the Calgary get on the winning side against the Fever. And the Fever, you know, they got to do something besides get that ball to Keithon Fleming. They got to do everything else on top of it. Keithon Fleming cannot carry this football team and try to get him victories. It's not going to happen. He needs help. But Calgary getting on top. Really, to be honest, the fact that the Calgary won that football game does not surprise me. The only thing that I have a problem is I didn't get a chance to see that game, put that eye on it, because I was listening to it on their radio broadcast more so, and then I checked the stats. But what I've been seeing with Calgary, all they're doing is getting better week to week, and they get the first win on the season against the Fever. The Fever are just one of those confusing teams. They got some talent on it. But the fact, I think, and I look at them, and like I said, I didn't get a chance to see this one, but I've seen all the other games. This team is not clicking together. There's no chemistry going on right now.
Yeah, I made a segment last Tuesday, that they look like a IFL team now. So, you know, early in the year I was hard on them.
Of course.
I think I put them in the power ranking of 109 one week. So, but no, they work hard. They working hard week to week, and they earned a spot, and they got, and it showed off. I mean, it came down to the game winning field goal, which was blocked, and that's why the young man was player of the week, did swap player of the week for Wyoming, because it was a game winner and they won the game for Wyoming. So it came down to that, and they made a play when they needed the most. And you'll find that a lot in IFL here on out is who makes the most plays. And when talent match talents, these guys, another thing I like about, and I hate to spin off this game, but a lot of things I like about the 9-team league right now is you don't see a lot of cutting, releasing, and signing. You know, you will get the same group of guys, and if they can grow together and keep getting those reminders and focus and practice that they need to do this better and continue to work on those small fundamental things, you'll see them get a lot better, a lot better. So, and Wyoming is doing that. Unfortunately, Tri-Cities is still having the issues at the quarterback, which I think good buddy
Shaq. They let Peters go.
Yeah, that's what I said. Good buddy Shaq got something up his sleeve where he's bringing in a new quarterback, or he got the backup going, ready to go. So you'll see a change of quarterback for Tri-Cities. Something they always a game late, if you ask me.
Yep.
They should have done it against the Sioux. I mean, before Sioux Falls did theirs, but hopefully it'll get them in the right direction and get them moving.
Yep. So some movements on that, and Shane McCord, defensive lineman, was released by Tri-Cities over in Colorado. They released Darren Clark, grab up Matthew. I guess that's Rourke. So, and the Texas Revolution, they go ahead and release Travis Miller, offensive lineman, and bring in Jermaine Love, a linebacker. But I think the big signing on Monday, Romance Taylor. I saw this guy's up close and personal, and seeing what he did at the end of the season last year for the Wranglers, 5 touchdowns in 6 games on kickoff returns. This guy, he's capable of getting the job done, isn't he, Corey?
Oh, absolutely. He could single-handedly win the game for you. And he's going to the Nebraska Danger. So there's another the rich get richer type deal. RT, man, he's a playmaker. I was really shocked at the Texans not signing this guy or whatever happened. They signed and released, whatever case may be. But how he ended up in Nebraska, coming from the University of Texas, how he's playing in Nebraska on a loaded team. Oh, man. And then he had to come home to Texas and play in front of their stadium. I mean, that's been 2 weeks. So I'm definitely getting my popcorn ready for that one.
Yep. Look out for the double uno on that. That's going to be an interesting game. If he's wearing 11, that's going to be an interesting thing. It called his name a lot last year with the Wranglers and things like that, and he did it right. Looks like we got Alex Stats online, and let's bring him in. How you doing tonight, Alex?
Good. How you doing?
Doing good. What did you see this weekend that stood out to you?
Tri-Cities, I mean, I didn't get to watch the game or anything, but still Tri-Cities and their quarterback issues, they need Houston Lillard back. I just don't think they'll re-sign him.
Corey,
Houston Lillard, that's a good one. He's one of the well-known names in IFL. He made statements that he's not coming back.
In this group, actually.
Yeah, actually in the group. So I don't think he have any interest of coming back. But, I mean, as Coach P would say, pay the man.
Well, he actually played last week for the Predators. It's the first time he's seen the field for the Orlando Predators. The Orlando Predators are 0-4, by the way, in the AFL. So that's probably one of the reasons why they gave him a shot and opportunity. He didn't do too bad, so we'll see if he starts over there next week for the Predators. So
hold on, Sonny, you talking Dixon or Lillard? Houston Lillard.
Dixon.
Oh, I don't know what happened with Lillard.
Lillard. Houston is not playing anywhere.
Okay.
He's not playing anywhere.
I did mishear him then. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, he played for Tri-Cities.
Last two years in the championship game.
Right, absolutely. So, put up great numbers at their Tri-Cities, well-respected quarterback.
So surprised no one's grabbed him up, Corey?
I think it's more on him. I think, I think it's more on him. He got a relative in the NBA right now, I know that.
Right.
That he's, going to be probably Rookie of the Year. So, maybe he's just training and looking for the – I mean, I can't speak for the man. I don't know his situation. I don't know him personally. I really don't. So I can't speak for what he's doing or, what he's looking for, what he's expecting. But I would love to see him play again. I enjoy watching him play. He's a proven quarterback in our league. So I would love for him to come back and help out a team like Tri-Cities or whatever the case may be or wherever he may end up.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, also what I was gonna say is that I've talked to Houston a couple of times, and from what he told me is that he's just trying to move on to a higher level. But
yep.
I mean, I don't know where he'd be playing. He's not very tall, so I mean, and he doesn't have the skills like Russell Wilson does or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think he has the skills for the NFL, but, you know, Houston Lillard could play in the CFL. I think he would be fine, or even in the AFL for that matter. So depending on what teams will end up grabbing him up and going from there. So he is huge. I haven't talked to him. I haven't really jumped into him to find out what's going on. But so Houston Lillard, yeah, I thought maybe someone might have grabbed him up. But that has not happened. So let's go on to the games that are going to be happening here. Let's just cover really quickly the standings here in the IFL over in the United Conference. The Titans and the Slaughter are both at 4-2, and the Titans have that tiebreaker game, so really they're ahead of them. Sioux Falls 3-2, Texas Revolution 2-3. Green Bay 1-5 over in the Intense Conference. Colorado and Nebraska both at 4-1. Wyoming and Tri-Cities both at 1-4. That's your standings in the IFL. But it makes games like the Slaughter Calgary games on Friday night, Corey, an interesting one. How much are they actually improving? They do get the wins, kind of like Texas. If you take a look at Texas, they get their first two wins against the Tri-Cities' favor. It's time to build up on what they got. They got the victory there, Corey. The Slaughter, a good football team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The running back there is huge as well. What are you looking at in that game?
I'm looking at the travel for Chicago. Can they withstand the long trip out west? Can they withstand playing a team they're not expected to beat? And, you know, after the emotional game against the Titans and getting that victory, and now you tied it, you know, they consider themselves tied in first place in the standings. This is the letdown trap game that you want to avoid every year, I mean, every season. So that's what you look for. If they come out flat and they're on the road, it's very tough to recover. It is very tough to recover. You want to start out strong like the last two teams did, Texas and Titans on the road, but you want to withstand that. But, that's what I'm looking for. How do they deal with the long travel? You know, one of the longest of the league in the league. So Chicago to Wyoming, and how they come out and how they react to coming out expecting to win. You know, everyone expect them to beat the Wyoming Calgary. How do they answer? How do they deal with that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everybody kind of expects that. You're absolutely right. I think everybody says, well, if you just look at the talents on the football field, yes, they should probably win that football game. But here's what I'm going to look at. I'm going to look at what happened. They get the victory, their first victory in week 9. As far as, you know, week eight against Tri-Cities. But what I'm really looking at when I look at the Calgary, I look at how well they are improved against the Colorado Ice when they played them the week before that. So, and then how they did when they played Nebraska. I mean, they kind of got their butts handed to them, but that's a butt whipping with some experience up on top of it. And then, you know, starting off the season, getting it really handed to them. So, you know, each week this team has improved against really quality teams. Then they beat the Fever. Now let's see what they can do against a team that is standing in contention on top in their conference. That's what I look for when I take a look at that game. So see if they can continue playing well against good football teams, because they're going to get slapped in the face with it. So that's a huge one. So I like that game.
So
I think that. Go ahead.
Who you have? Who you going for?
Well, I'm looking at the letdown game. What you were talking about there, Corey. I am. I'm looking for that as far as no one really knows this team, what to expect from them in reality. They've been playing some good football teams. I'm just going to go on the limb. I'm not saying they should win. The Slaughter should win this football game, but the travel, mm-hmm. the fact they don't know them, the fact they are getting better, maybe some of all that will add up for them, and maybe they'll get on a streak with two. You have the Slaughter in this game, right?
I have the Slaughter. I'm going to go with the Slaughter. I think it's going to be more like a Colorado to Wyoming type game when Colorado traveled to Wyoming and kind of was down at halftime and then, you know, down by one score at halftime and then finished strong towards the end and pretty much controlled that game. I think Chicago's defense is better than what people, you know, give them credit for. You know, they turned
well,
that game against
the fight. The best, right?
Yeah, well, you know, depends on who you ask.
Yes.
But they're ranked third in points allowed with 37.5. And
okay.
But they get the key turnovers like they, you know, showed in the last game, and I think they come out despite a slow start, which I say you can't have, but they finish strong.
Let's go to Alex since we got him online. Alex, what do you think about the game? Who are you picking?
I'm on the IFL schedule right now. What games are you talking about? I kind of missed
it. We're just talking about the Slaughter Calgary game.
I think the Slaughter might come out on top. They have beaten a couple of good teams. And so I'm thinking they might come out on top, but, I mean, I'm not positive. They have more veterans than the Calgary do.
Definitely. Experiences. Everything points to the Slaughter winning this football game. I'm just going to
mm-hmm.
see how they're looking at as far as that momentum that they get with the
right.
Tri-City wins, and I'm going to let it roll on. See, that didn't work last week for me for the Blizzard, so I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm going to let the Calvary get the shot. So the next game up on the lineup is the Storm and the Fever. This right here, you talk about a letdown game there, Corey. Here's your letdown game for the Storm where they're at right now. The Storm should probably demolish this football team, but they're on the road in reality. They're playing in Tri-Cities, playing in the Fever. So the Storm are on the road. So the Storm, though, really should beat this team up in reality. Like I said, Keithon Fleming can't do it all himself. And that's pretty much the only thing I see got going for this football team, Corey.
Yeah. There's the difference between Sioux Falls and everyone else. They win, you know, when they were expected to win. And
yep.
when they're not expected, they're winning, they still win. But
they usually win, yep.
They'll be up and ready for Tri-City. This is a rivalry game, always has been since the last two championship games. You know, it was against them, these guys. So they always up for Tri-Cities. They always, I can't remember Tri-Cities ever beating them. So Alex probably know more than I would on that history. But I got the Storm.
I think Tri-Cities won last year. No. Falls won in overtime, I think.
You know, actually, the Storm haven't lost a game in 2 years before the first loss before that. So,
right.
So that team just doesn't lose. It's experience. I mean, you take the experience. You can say what you want about the players having years of experience, but when you got years of winning up on top of having years of experience, it just makes it a tough game. And plus, the fact is that the Fever just don't have the right personnel like they did last year to go up against a team to make this game competitive to this year anyway. So at least so far, unless they put it together and figure it out, but I just don't think it's ready to go for that. So the next game up on the list is the Cedar Rapids Titans taking on the Revolution. The Cedar Rapids Titans, two losses in a row off a two-week layoff. They can't be happy. The Revolution, you got that. I'll say it, the moral victory. They win two games against Tri-Cities, then they should have beat Nebraska. They're still pretty confident. I'm going to pick the Revolution. I call the games. I'm not going to pick against these guys. But really, in reality, when I look at it, I think there's a lot of talent on the Revolution football team to get the job done against the Titans because, as someone made mention on in our Facebook thing there, Corey, is have they been figured out? Have we seen something on the Titans' side of the football that exposed them?
I can't say that for sure because, you know, if you figured them out, they'll change. You know, they got smart coaches and veteran coaches over there. I'm not going to go that far. What I think, I mean, they just playing better competition. That's flat out. Everybody out the gate, you get 3 out of 4 home games. That's a huge advantage, especially playing in the Cedar Rapids Arena. I mean,
yep.
That is a huge advantage. Whatever. That's how I feel. I also think they having an issue with the quarterback situation. You know, like the old saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. You know, you don't have any.
Right.
So I think that need to be settled. I think if you go with that guy, you got to go with that guy. You know, like the good old famous Jay-Z would say, things was all good just a week ago. With the Cedar Rapids Titans, I bet they wishing they was on that bye week again.
Yeah.
feeling good, 4-0. But I mean, they up against a big challenge going down to Texas, a well proven, a team that getting the ball rolling, know what they need to twerk, know what they need to tweak here and change there, and that's a challenging environment to play in as well down in Allen.
Yep. So who you got in that game?
I want to pick the Titans. I really do. But I'm going to have to go with Revolution in that game.
I take a look at the Revolution the same way. They've learned with the tweaking. They got we kind of mentioned it last week, Corey. You know, now that they got the offensive line, it's kind of set. Now they can work on the other things that are going to be the problems, and they can get that part figured out before they hit the next game. Alex, what do you think? Titans Revolution.
I got the Titans. I mean, I like both the quarterbacks that they have. They need to stick to one, though. Their receiving core is really good. I mean, it's probably one of the best in the NFL. They need to use it better, though. They've got a great running back. And their offensive line is great. Their defense is good. Their kicking needs work. And, I mean, they've got great coaches. So, I mean, I've got to go with the Titans. I mean, I've got to go with the Titans almost every week, but
that's fair. Sonny's going to go with the Texans. Texas every week, so you guys are even.
I'm going to go with the Revolution every week. So, but at least I feel good about this pick more so than if I'm kind of shaky about it in reality, because that's my only problem when I take a look at this game. But here's one thing I want to talk about just really quick defensively. You're right, they got a good defense, but where has Zadie Jackson been the last two games? That's where I'm kind of looking at this game, Corey. He had 10 sacks before they went into the break.
Uh-oh. Come on, Sonny.
So
come on, Sonny. You waking up a beast.
I mean, I love Zadie Jackson. I think he's the best defensive player in the IFL. What's going on with
Zadie Jackson?
You're calling
out Zadie Jackson. You saying where has he been? He's on a missing a milk carton. That's what you're saying? He's missing?
No, I'm just saying, we didn't get the 6-sack guy that we've been getting, the 4-sack guy. We only seen 1 sack in 2 games here for Jackson as well. So,
We got to be an ammo alert for
I'm just pointing out the thing that they were kind of building on is we haven't seen them in now. This guy's a monster. I love this guy. I'll put it out there, okay? He's the best defensive player on the defensive line I've seen all year in the IFL. So that's number one. Where is that? Have we seen a drop off on him? Or are we gonna see the old Jackson back there? You think, Corey?
I don't know. I can put out an Amber Alert since you haven't found him. We can put an Amber Alert out for him and see if he show up this game. I'm gonna say, Sonny haven't seen you in the last 2 weeks, so we need you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out something that I just, and I hate the fact that this team had a 2 week bye. More so, you got to put that at the beginning of the year or at the end of the year. You put that in the middle, it just screws with everything. It screws with the head. It screws with everything that's going on. I think it's huge, and I think it's one of those. I'm not a fan of the 2 week bye. What about you, there, Corey?
No, not back to back in a row, but you got to understand, it could be scheduling conflicts with the arena. It could have been, getting all those home games early before the sun come out and everybody want to be outside. It could be so many other things. I mean, you never know. It's just unfortunate, the football players and the coaches and the people actually playing the game got to deal with it, the 2 week bye. I'm not a fan of it. I don't understand it, especially with 9 teams, but like I said, it could have been a number of things where the arena wasn't available, or if you was playing on the road, that wasn't available, what have you.
There's just too much rest, I think.
Say that again, Alex. I didn't hear you.
I said, I think there's just too much rest involved in this 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think that could be a huge thing, And I was talking that we had Brian Prey up on the halftime show on a couple of games ago. And he made a point that is really good, a very good point, especially in you got to remember your professionalism. You got to put it out there each and every week. And you can't let a situation come out and take over your body. You got to be body ready and things. He said, I guess he said all the right things as far as the bye was concerned, but putting them together, unfortunately, they didn't get that job done. I'm not saying Sadie Jackson's gone. I'm just saying we haven't seen him the dominating player that we've seen in the first 4 weeks. So I'm not sure if he's missing it, if he's injured, something's wrong with him.
It looks like he still had
the same wheels, right?
Yeah, it's going to get back to him, Sonny. You got to answer to him when he gets down to Texas.
Yeah, I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to go find out. I am. I'm going to go up. Hopefully he don't beat the hell out of me when I see him. But I'm going to say, hey, is there really anything wrong, And I'm going to see if I can grab up a quote for him. I'm going to get there early so I can talk to him and a couple other players. That's going to be fun as well. So I'm going to try to get some tape on some players and stuff so we'll have for our next show. I'll have the little Zadie Jackson as well. Hey, let's go to the other game. Danger Ice, this game of the week, guys. I'm telling you, the game of the week, and it's on Saturday, and I can't call it. I wish I could, but I'm calling the Titans Revolution game on Saturday. Game of the week. I mean, you are putting the top two in the IFL and putting them on the field together. This is game of the week. What are you looking at there, Corey?
Yeah, this is it. This is I'm really looking forward to this game. I really do. I want to see how they match up with each other. Colorado coming off a bye. Danger rallying together towards the second half, getting things straightened out and come back and win that game brings, they give them morale and gives them, back focus, refocus. It's almost a pick 'em game. It's almost, you can go either way on it. You really could.
you know, it's gonna come down to who makes the most plays, who's willing to make the most plays. I think Nebraska should win it. They should win it. They have the athletes. If you just match them up, if you're playing fantasy football, you can take their stats and and, man, Nebraska will run away with it.
Yep.
But it's not fantasy football, and you got to go to Colorado, you know, and play there, and Coach O'Neill is ready for the danger. I'm going to go with Colorado winning at home over the danger.
I've changed my opinion on this game. I had Colorado before we got up on air, and then I thought about the game last week against the Revolution. And I think if they lose that game against the Revolution, I think it's surefire way for them to walk into Colorado and lose that football game. But the fact that they figured out how to get the job done, and they say it all the time, every good football team finds a way to win games that they need to win. This is a game that they need to win, and I think the Danger have that experience. Not only that, I mean, if you look at, like you said, if you look at fantasy, or you just look at the personnel on these football teams, you got Tuff Johnson on the defensive side of the ball, shut down. They're not even going to throw the ball that way. Okay, so
yes, he will. Sonny, I was right there. I mean, they're gonna go after Tuff. And I love Tuff to death. They're going to go after Tuff because O'Neill coached Tuff, so he knows his weaknesses. And so that's something they coached. He coached him in Billings. So he's going to go after Tuff. don't say, okay, I'm going to look away from Tuff.
No.
He's going to go after Tuff because he knows his weaknesses, and you're going to see and look for that girl.
Does he have any, though?
Huh?
Does he have any, though? That's my question. I mean, you know, as much as I watched this guy in the last 2 years, okay, I mean, this guy's lights out. I mean, this guy will bait you. I'm telling you right now, I've watched this guy play, and he just baits these quarterbacks to throw that football that way sometimes, doesn't he? He'll sit there, and he's got his eyes right up on that quarterback, knowing exactly what he's doing and baiting these quarterbacks to make bad decisions.
That's true. Hey, but Sonny, didn't you guys have the Tuff?
Say again?
Didn't Texas Revolution go after Tuff?
No, they did not go after him.
Okay.
And I think he had his mind set on Nebraska. And frankly, if I hear the rumors correctly, he was actually rumored to go to Nebraska before he came down to
No. I meant in the game last week. Did they attack Tuff through the air?
Not that I saw. I mean, maybe three or four play. It wasn't like, oh, Tuff Johnson's out. There's our weakness. They stay away. Don't they stay away from him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's almost impossible to stay away from people in an indoor game, for one.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you got DT, you got Pig Brown. It's almost like pick your poison. Those are phenomenal D-backs.
Yeah.
You got Geddes. It's almost impossible to go after, to stay away from one guy. But I don't think O'Neill is scared of Tuff. I don't think so. But we'll see.
Go ahead.
That'll be something I would really want to look at and see how Tuff responds. You know, if he answered a call or not.
You bet. Alex.
Yeah, what I would like to say is Andre Piper Jordan, they've got to use him. One catch last week, I mean, yeah, they won the game by three, but, I mean, hey, if they put the ball in his hands, it's a touchdown. I mean, they've got to use him.
Well, they just got a more busier wide receiver core as they added Romance Taylor on the wide receiver link there as well. So question, I mean, you got Corey Cerency, over there, Andre Piper's Jordan, I mean, and then King Parkinson. They're going to have room for Romance Taylor. Oh my gosh! Unless they use him basically in kickoff returns, which he's monster into. But that guy can catch the football as well. Geez Louise!
Is Romance playing this week?
Well, I know he signed, and I know he was actually supposed to be there last week, but he couldn't get there last week. So from what Mike has told me is that he's there and ready to go, and he expects him to play. Now, whether or not that happens or not, maybe he's not ready, and maybe he doesn't get grasp the offense fast enough in order for him to play. That will be found out. But I have a feeling we definitely see him in Texas next week. So if we don't see him this week, we'll definitely see him next week. Hey, man, that like I told you before, I think the Nebraska Danger have the best 1-2-3 punch at wide receiver, and heck, add on Romance Taylor. You know, 1-2-3-4. You know, 1-2-3, 1-8, 1-1-8, 2-3, and 4. You know, it's crazy. They've got some stuff going on there. I'm going to take Nebraska. I think Nebraska wins by 2 touchdowns in the football game. That's just a guess on what I see.
What is Nebraska road record?
Well, that's an interesting question that you would ask that. They're 3-1, so they might be 0-1 or 1-1 on the road, maybe, because their overall record's 4-1.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Game that they lost was in the Tri-Cities.
Right, in Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that. I mean, that's just what I see as far as that.
They play Sioux Falls at home. They play Colorado at home.
Mm-hmm.
They play Wyoming at home, and they play Texas at home. I don't know, Sonny. You still going to Nebraska?
I'm still going with Nebraska. I'm still, and not only that, I think they get Libre back too this week.
Now somebody got to sit. That's just too many people. Ramones.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, isn't that a nice place to be, though, when you got that much talent and you got to make a decision which one you're going to sit. I don't know. I don't want to shoot Alex here, but I'll tell you the odd one out that I think I look at this, I think it is Piper Jordan, although I think I like Piper's Jordan.
Ooh.
Well, hey, they also got that kicker back, too, from injury.
The Joe Houston kid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they got Houston back.
I don't know. They look good. They look good. They got to prove themselves on the road, Sonny. They have to. I'm not going to pick them on the road until they win on the road, okay?
Got it.
I'm going to go Colorado in a close one.
Colorado's a good football team.
Good old Willie Copeland find a way to get it done.
I love Colorado's receiver, Justin Helwidge.
Oh yeah, he's tough, but I tell you what, he's not going to have as much advantage as he has in the other games because Nebraska D-backs are bigger D-backs. They the DT stand at a 6'2", 6'3", maybe.
Oh, they're just better too.
So tough, right? So. They stand about the same height as Justin, so he won't have that easy red zone package that Colorado has to deal with. But, you know, they got James Jones, and he can make a difference in the red zone as well.
Hey, that was the guy I was going to talk about there really quick. You know, I think if James Jones has a good game, they stay in this football game. But if they figure out how to stop Jones, that's gonna be huge. For this game, but one thing that I saw in James Jones, they sneak that guy out of the backfield, and Copeland will find him, and he'll just use his legs. I like James Jones.
I don't know. That's a matchup. That's another intriguing matchup. Him against Maurice Simpkins.
Yeah.
You know, will he make him look like an old man or what? I mean, I'm just saying. You got to tackle him in space. We'll see. I know. Simp, he gonna come up and challenge him. So
he's so short. He is so short. He was standing up against some of these players, and he looked like he just walked out of middle school. I mean, he is so short, but man, he is so fast. I mean, I think that's to his advantage. Huge for him. So.
absolutely. Absolutely. That's going to be a good matchup. So
it's going to be a great game,
I'll,
man.
I'll
and I'll tell you.
It started a little later, so that's the one I'll be watching.
Well,
can't wait for it.
B2 better have their cameras working this weekend. You know, so I can see all the games on Sunday. I'll watch both of the other two games on Sunday when I get home. So it's going to be an interesting week. Hey, we've had some activity over in the Indoor Football League Players Meet Fans Group, and folks. I called him the MVP of the offense on the Allen Wranglers last year, and I'm talking about one Luke McArdle throughout the whole year. I mean, Romance came a little bit later, but Luke came a little bit earlier. But this guy, Luke McArdle, he says he's beginning to get the itch after he sees Bell go out and do what he did. He's a little bit older. But I'm going to put this out there, and I watched all, you know, obviously I watched all the games last year too. This guy, I'm going to say this straight out. He is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, or in the IFL, that can change his route in the middle of the route, adjust to what the defender is doing him while he is on him, and make plays. I will tell you, there were 7 plays last year from Luke McArdle where he just read the defender, what he was doing. He just changed his route a little bit and just probably caught more passes probably that were probably going to be intercepted in reality. But he was able to make the adjustments. One of the best adjustment men in the IFL last year, Corey.
Oh, absolutely. I can't say enough about Luke. You know, he's been around for quite some time, the River City days here in St. Louis.
Yep.
You know, all them guys. So, you know, he's one of the original, like we like to say. He's in that championship game against Billings. He was on that squad with us. So, phenomenal ball catcher. His adjustment to the ball is phenomenal, something that you can't teach.
The way he attacks
the ball,
yep.
The way he makes those catches under pressure, you know, he'll get smacked and get right back up, and, you know, he's you know, and not he's quiet at doing it, too. You know, he's not going to be like, you walk in a room, oh, yeah, give me that guy on my team.
Right.
You know, but once you get it up there on that field and you see him run routes, you see him catch the ball, you see his competitive attitude on the field doing games, it's definitely one of the tops in IFL. And I'm very, you know, fortunate to have been enough to coach him on a couple of occasions.
And I've been very fortunate to call those plays, those 7 plays that stick out in my mind that make me think exactly what it is. He says his class is in next month, and he said, Mike Davis, let me know if there is a roster spot that opens up. And I personal message him. I said, whoa, wait a second. And this is what I told him. I couldn't believe what I was reading out there. I says, hey, wait a second. You are honestly going to bail on your good friend and play-by-play guy, Sonny Clark, in Texas to go to Nebraska? I said, where's your loyalty? So, yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you where the loyalty is. It's boys there. I mean,
we
all played. I mean, it's that 2009 season. Are you talking Randy Bell,
yeah.
Dave Brown, Darnell
yeah.
Terrell,
yeah.
Tommy Chavis on the D-line, all those guys, you know, was a part of that team. We were younger. Hurtis Chin as a coach. Mike Davis was on that as a coach. You know, Hurtis was playing at the time, but he's a coach of the Danger now. But,
right.
I mean, and then he played with Simpkins, Maurice, in Rockford. So they came along before them, along with Randy Bell. So it's, you play with the guys you know, and you going after that one thing all we all have in common is that ring and win a championship.
Yeah, he says he gets worked up whenever he sees the post. See, it just it creates the energy and the juice for him to get back into it. I love me some Luke McArdle. It's one of those things. So we got about 7 more minutes left to go in the show. We covered a lot of stuff here today. Anything you want to cover there, Corey, before we're out of here?
No, just, you know, the Facebook thing that keeps my day going while I'm at work. You know, have fun, and it's all nothing but fun. So if you go to the Facebook group, Sonny will give you the, you know, exact name of it. I don't know. It almost always give me a notification, so that's why I don't know the name of it.
Yeah.
But if you go in there, I mean, it's all nothing but fun. It makes the game interesting. You know, it gives people other things to look at, a little insight of what's going on with these guys.
Absolutely.
And where they come from. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's nothing but fun. So,
yeah,
you know,
could you imagine
Peyton
Manning on a group like this? I mean, no, you can't imagine it because it's never going to happen. You know, so that's the great thing about this group. That's the great thing about the IFL and the stuff's going on. Alex, anything you wanted to cover before we got out of here?
I'd like to ask about the future of the IFL. What do you guys think? Next year?
Well, I think it's going to be here. Go ahead, Corey.
I got one rule. Talking about the future of IFL. You don't talk about the future of the IFL because it will change just like the Midwest weather. It will change, it will change, it will change in a heartbeat. So I don't really talk about it, and once it approaches, once we get in season, I deal with it then, I talk about it then. I mean, you got changes from coaches to players to cities. So I don't really talk about the future. I just really, you know, talk about the game. And so Sonny may be able to answer that question for you.
Well, I just have an opinion. That's the only thing I can see. The IFL is going to be in business next year. But here, I've learned a lot just within the last week. I'll tell you, there's a guy that whenever I turn to that I have a question about the business portion of this game, and I turn to him and I ask him questions, he's never not taken my call or never not returned my call. I'm not going to say who it is, but I've learned a lot about this game. As far as the business is concerned. No, it's not. It's nobody in Texas. So it's somebody else. So, but what I'm going to tell you is the part that I learned a lot makes me think that this could still keep going. Even for a little bit. It's definitely, you look at the other leagues. The CPIFL is the ones that's the competition where everybody's jumping to, and they're jumping to it for financial reasons. I think what the IFL is actually trying to do and trying to work hard to do is grab new franchises that have good, stable backings, and that's the huge thing. You can have a football team, but if you are in a different business and you're not really focused in 100% up on football operations, it's kind of hard to make sure your team is up and ready to go. If you got other interests otherwhere, I mean, I'm sure there's other ones, but you got to make sure you have the right kind of personnel and the right people that can do the job on a day-to-day basis and that will do it every single day. That's the key to success of any franchise in football, never mind just the IFL. And they're looking to get some of those good people and good backings for teams so we don't have teams fall out and things like that. And it will hopefully be good here for the next – I see it here for at least 3 years, and that's just my guess. And I think we may lose a team here or there, but I think we're going to gain as well. So hopefully they will be able to get up to the IFL standards of talent. And that, I think, is the huge difference between the IFL and all the other leagues that are out there. I think the talent is just more in this league. I think that's why I like it.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex, I'm sorry.
What I think is like, I mean, there's 9 teams right now. When I first started out in the IFL, there was 27 teams. I mean, that's just a big drop off. And what I'm wondering is Billings coming back? Is there going to be more teams on the West Coast to like help out Tri-City? is there's going to be teams, new teams on the East Coast. I mean, are they spreading out the locations more, or are they just going to keep it more like it is right now?
Yeah, that's an answer. Yeah, that's a great question that we probably have to ask Robert Loving as far as the going on what's going on. I know they're working to get them. I don't know where they're going to get them. And that's the only thing that I see as far as how it's going to happen. I don't know. But I don't know. I agree. I think I agree with Corey. It's just some of the – we just don't know. I mean – but from, like I said, from what I learned, I think it's going to be there. How they put teams together and where they put them as far as territories, they keep the travel down and everything else. I don't know if that's possible because you don't know what you're going to get each and every year as well. So it's something to keep an eye on. So, well, we did it. We went through a whole hour here on the Couch Potato Sports Show as well as the IFL Talk. You know, we're going to be doing this every Tuesday at this time. We may be on this channel doing it because I do call baseball on Tuesdays for the next at least 4 weeks. So we got that going on. So we'll be up on this one on this channel here for a while. Okay, guys?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good. So make sure you join us next week. Also, don't if you're anywhere there's an indoor football game, I don't care what league it is, you get your butt down there and you watch some indoor football. You'll like it. And like I said, I don't care what league it is, but if it's IFL, definitely get there. And we'll be bringing you the play-by-play here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We're also going to be fed now. They finally got it all figured out to where I'll be going through America One for the Texas Revolution game. So keep it there. And also the game of the week. So Friday and Saturday games here on the Couch Potato Sports Show for Alex, as well as Corey Bethany. I am Sonny Clark, and I am the hardest working man in sports radio. We're out here. Corey, Alex, have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
All right, you too, Sonny.
All right, we're out of here. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.